Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. Welcome to episode number 181 as we close in on that mystical number 200 episode. Glory to God. This is part two of our interview with Jeff Horton as we talk about Future Schism. It's a futuristic novel that he's written. Now, Jeff spent 25 years in the IT field before saying enough is enough and becoming a writer, fulfilling a lifelong dream that he's had. He's written several books, several screenplays, and this book is just being released this week. It's called Future Schism. If you missed any of episode number 180, you need to go back and listen to it and get it all caught up, because we have, I can't even go into it. We're just going to jump right back in today's interview, finish it up, but go back and listen to the episode number 180, then come listen to this one, or listen to this one, then go back, listen to that one. Either way, get the entire thing because it's good. Let's jump right back in the interview with Jeff Horton. Let me ask you, why did you become a novelist?
You know, that's a good question, especially when you consider that this is the marathon of writing, you know?
Right.
People, I could have written short stories. I could have written magazine articles. Honestly, it's a really good question. I guess when I sat down, I started writing. I thought about writing short stories, and the first one, when I first sat down, I started writing. I didn't really know where it was going to go, and before I knew what had happened, I had a novel. And yeah, I mean, it was. I found out that I had a lot, and then after I did one, I was hooked.
Yeah,
it's just the creativity is it's. It's just what a feeling. I mean, the feeling of just creating an entire world and characters and scene and setting, and just it's almost like you're seeing. I see it in my head as I'm writing it. It's almost like I see it taking place, and I'm just writing it down. It's kind of a unique experience, really.
Now, how long does it take you to write your books? I mean, Hemingway, it's reported, only wrote for like 2 hours a day, and that was it. Yeah.
It varies, and it kind of fluctuates with what I would call creative spurts. You know, I mean, sometimes I'll sit down and I'll have spurts that last 5-6 hours. Other times I'll sit down and maybe I'll go 2-4 hours and just kind of tire out. Mm-hmm. A lot of it depends on the intensity of what I'm writing, and how focused and how intense the action is where I'm at. Sometimes you have to be really kind of more focused on what you're writing. Sometimes the action's a little bit slower, mm-hmm. out of necessity. You know, I mean, where the storyline is, where you're at in the story. So generally speaking, though, it generally takes. If I sat down and I just really just was focused on doing nothing else but writing, I probably could knock one out pretty easily in about 3 months, I'd say.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just with the process of the way you're describing, you're going through it, it could take up to a year or so to write a book?
Yeah. Generally, six months to a year is not unreasonable. Yeah, because you go through, right? You go through the process first. You write it yourself, and then you write the initial draft, and then you go through the initial draft, and you look at all the concept changes you want to make. At least, you know, this is my process. Everybody has their own unique way. I read a book as I was starting to write. I kind of wanted to make sure I wasn't kind of going off way off, you know, on my own little island, you know. And I remember this one guy was saying that, you know, that everybody, this is such a creative process, right? It's like painting. like doing art. I mean, everybody does it their own way. I mean, it's, there's really no right, just one right way of doing it. He said, don't let anybody tell you you have to do it this way mm-hmm. or you have to do it that way. He said, do it your way. Amen. You know, yeah. I mean, and so, you know, but anyway, so everybody has kind of their own process, but yeah, you kind of do your own draft. I kind of do a draft, and then I go through and I look at all the conceptual changes I want to make, and then once the in other words, maybe I say, you know, well, I really don't like the way I did this action here, or maybe this. I need to change where the climax takes place, or I need to change what happens. This key element of the story is not right, or I need to completely rework this chapter, or okay. I need to eliminate this character altogether. He's, you know, yeah. So those kind of changes, right? And you kind of make those adjustments, and then once all that's done, you go back through and you start kind of in other words, once you got the story kind of the way you want it, you go back through and you start looking at, okay, I got to make sure I get at least the bulk of the grammatical type errors, you know, and make sure, you know, maybe I changed the character's name from Susan to Karen halfway through the story, and mm-hmm. I went back and started calling her Karen again towards the end, right? I've caught myself doing that a number of times, and my editor ends up catching what I miss. So.
Hey, well, let's talk about Future Schism for a second. Now, that's the title of the latest novel. And the intro that I read at the beginning, I mean, it has me hooked already. I mean, you know,
great.
When's it going to be released?
November 6th is okay. The release date. In fact, I'm having a Facebook release event on my Facebook. You can find it by just looking for author Jeff W. Horton on Facebook. It's also you can go to my website hortonlibrary.com. But that event is from 7 to 9 on November 6th, 7 to 9 p.m. I'm going to be giving away a couple of copies, signed copies of Future Schism, mm-hmm. a signed set of the Cyberspace series,
wow.
And a $25 Amazon gift certificate.
Amen.
So, yeah, if folks want to come. There'll be some Q&A and just some, you know, question and answers and contests to win those prizes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was November 6th, and it's already available for pre-order on Barnes & Noble, and links already out there on Amazon.
What about on Amazon?
The link's out there. I don't really know what they've got on Amazon's website. It's kind of odd. They've got the link out there, the book's out there, but they don't really have it set up correctly for pre-ordering. So I'm kind of directing people to Barnes & Noble until November 6th.
Okay. Now tell us, what is Future Schism about?
You know, after the last administration in the White House for the last 8 years, just seeing the country that was already divided. I had high hopes, right, going into the beginning. Now, I was by no stretch of the imagination a supporter of President Obama going into it, his administration. But at least I hope that maybe there was something to his hope and change message, that maybe his background of being his mother being Caucasian, his father being an African American, after he became a citizen, that maybe it offered some hope for racial tensions in the country and that kind of thing. But it really went completely the opposite direction under his tenure. And I just the way I saw things that were happening in Ferguson and just everything under the last eight years under his administration, and then especially after President Trump won the election and the way they just, you know, just everything going on just absolutely just boggled my mind at what was happening to our country, and I just, you know, kind of just, you know, was so struck by it all that I've grown very, very concerned about where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a point in the novel where I'm offering some backstory. The novel actually starts. It offers some backstory about kind of where we, how, you know, in the uh, in the introduction and in the beginning, in the prologue, about how we get to where we are. But it actually begins like after the second Civil War has already taken place, right, and the Great Schism's already happened. But it offers backstory how we got there, and it talks about how — I don't want to give away the whole story, but I will mention that it begins with gradually the country moves beyond just being culturally divided, and gradually liberals begin migrating towards the West Coast, and gradually conservatives begin migrating towards the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And at some point, the liberals in California, a newly elected governor succeeds from a union. Mm-hmm. And I've actually heard a story — I couldn't believe it when I heard it — that someone said that there was a threat of actual succession.
I heard that too. Yeah,
I couldn't. I mean, this was like a few weeks. I couldn't believe what I heard. I mean, this is after I didn't have the novel, so I didn't publish. I never would have thought it would be so soon.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, so truth is stranger than fiction.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Hey, amen. Now, what novels could you compare this to? I mean, some that people would be familiar with.
Well, the two that's probably the closest, and I kind of hesitate to reference them, but really I think they're the most applicable. And I did actually bounce this off of my editor to kind of make sure I wasn't just off in La La Land. but probably, I mean, please forgive me. I'm not wanting to sound ostentatious here, but 1984. By George Orwell, and then Brave New World, Aldous Huxley, probably are a little bit, similar in vein to Future Schism. I mean, I kind of wrote it, in part to try to be along the same — same lines, but I wasn't really trying to imitate them at all. Mm-hmm. It's just it also is a dystopian novel. It also addresses — There are elements of tyranny and elements of a big brother type mentality and an out of control state. Mm-hmm. In both of the provinces, they call the blue zone and the red zone. There's actually a long drawn out name. Official name for both of these provinces. It's just kind of the slang term is the red zone and blue zone they use, and part of the point that I try to draw out, is that both ideologies, both liberal and conservative, taken to their extremes, should offer some concern.
Yeah.
And that both, at least, in my viewpoint, if taken again — and I think there's evidence in history we can point to that — taken to their extremes can lead to tyranny.
Right.
And you see, you look at points, back in the medieval times, and yeah, we had the church, with the Catholic church, yeah, the only church. And you take and certainly in various points, and some of the liberal were there, just absolutely bankrupting one government after another in the country today.
Yeah.
And so you see that reflected kind of in how the zones have turned out 100 years after the Great Schism.
Right, and that's the — is that like the underlying message that you're trying to convey in the novel?
It is. Okay. Basically, and again, I'm giving some of it away, I guess. But for listeners, that's their reward for listening, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That we need each other, right? That we need really both we need conservative, people and ideas, and we need some liberal ideas and.
Yeah.
There's
balance, checks and balances.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So, what was it? Was it the election that clicked in your mind that really started bringing this story together for you? When you started writing it, the turmoil from, switching from way left to now back going towards the right, and all the turmoil going on in the middle.
No, I mean, it wasn't that. In fact, I mean, I think the adjustment was, if we didn't have it, we were in real trouble.
Yeah.
In fact, I welcomed it wholeheartedly. I was really very, very nervous. I think President Obama took the country so far that I was terrified where we were going, to be honest with you. Yeah, people may not appreciate, but I mean, we were in serious danger. People who don't really pay attention don't really understand, but our military was so weakened that the governments around the world, they may not be paying attention, but I guarantee China was, Russia was, they were doing everything. They were paying very close attention, and. Yeah, we were in serious trouble, and President Trump is exactly what I think we needed in many ways. And but anyway, so yeah, it was just the way, you know, people have become so hardened, and it was the way that, and it was the way that, you know, again, people, is what's really amazed me is that people have become very hardened in their positions while being so uninformed.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I'm amazed by that. I watch these people being interviewed, and they're so angry. Then you ask them questions; they have no idea why.
Yep, they can't defend their positions. There was a it was on Waters World. He was out explaining the proposed tax code, you know, revisions and stuff, asking people, you know, the millennials. He goes, Bernie says that this should, you know, Bernie Sanders, he says that we should have this. Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. Well, do you think that the Republicans should adopt that? Well, they never will and all this. He goes, well, what would you say if I told you this was Trump's tax plan? I mean, they had no idea at all.
No, yeah. Right, yeah.
So, I mean, people today are so uninformed that's one of the reasons the politicians get away with doing what they're doing.
I mean, that's exactly right. And again, you know, I honestly, I was tempted to skew the novel a little bit, but I elected to not, because I thought about it, you know, and I thought, you know, and that's why, you know, I gave it a lot of consideration. You recall back during the Industrial Revolution, right? I mean, the reason why unions came about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they came about because the industries were working children.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to the bone, working them to, yeah. I mean, just slave labor. It was horrendous what they were doing. And see, that's the other extreme, right? Mm-hmm. That's the other the other end of the spectrum, complete opposite, and that's kind of where in future schism, the red zone is the more conservative, and the red zone is they're forcing the production zone, the laborers, to undergo genetic experiments to enhance them, to make them better workers by, you know, making them stronger and more. Right. Able to work better, you know, physically, do more, so they're more efficient, but it takes 10 years off their lives, or 10, 20, but they don't tell them this, right? But
right.
I mean, and but everybody kind of, but they have no choice, that they know. And then the ones, they also use it to enhance the intelligence of, you know, the upper echelon of their people, but in doing so, it kind of robs them of their emotional connection to other people.
Okay. Well, now, Jeff, I know you're probably working on some other things, you know, that on the back burner waiting to come out. Now that Future Schism is ready to be released, what are some of the other projects that you're working on?
I mentioned probably the next thing I'm going to try and get done is I've got Frontiers, which is the second novel in the cyberspace series. I'm really wanting to get that screenplay adaptation done. And then I have one more in the series, New Beginnings, and I'm going to try to get that screenplay adaptation done. I want to try at least get those two done, so I have a package of three to offer, movie studios out in L.A. Or wherever, to they have a three package deal, you know, ready. to go to film. I've had a few studios express some interest. I've just not had anything firm come about yet. So I'm kind of hoping. Yeah, I'm hoping.
Now, do you go to like the independent film festivals and stuff like that to offer your stuff? How do you go about marketing your stuff?
Yeah, you know, and honestly, I'm probably not doing it the right way. I probably need to get me again. I don't have an agent yet. I've kept my eyes and ears open for one. If I can get the right guy. I've listened to advice, Donald Mass, it was Mass Literary Agency in New York. I read his book, writing the breakout novel early on. I think I was writing my first or second novel. And, one of his, advice, I think it was his advice, it was saying that it's better sometimes to have no representation than to get the wrong agent. So, I mean, anyway, it was someone, I got that early on, and so I'm trying to get the right one. But you know, the way there's a few ways, and maybe I'm being lazy in the way I'm doing it. Stage 32, and this may be helpful to some of the listeners who may be interested in doing this. Mm-hmm. Stage 32 is a website they can go to and sign up with. It's a lot of creative folks out in Hollywood. A lot of them are independent producers. Not all of them. Some of them are actually. They have connections into larger studios, but you have like producers and some directors. You have some of the more other folks that are, you know, creative designers, different kinds of people who come in. These folks all interact, and there's various forums of things they can get onto. They also offer a means of pitching. Your screenplay. I mean, you can pay $30. You get I don't remember exactly how long it is, but like, you know, five, 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. You get with an executive or something. You can either do it via Skype or you can submit a written pitch. And if they like it, they'll ask for a synopsis, mm-hmm. or they may ask for the script. And there's also Roadmap Writers, and that guy, Joey, I can't think of Joey Tuccolo, maybe, came out of Stage 32. He's got his own thing going now. Hmm. One of those guys, there was one guy, a studio, Ravenwood Studios, they actually did request the script. And they came back, the feedback was they didn't like the formatting of the way I had it. So I ended up going back and reworking the formatting, and hopefully I've got that cleaned up now. But they, you know, they did like the synopsis that I had submitted. So,
what do you do for your novels? How do you pitch those?
Well, I don't really have to. My publisher has liked my work so much that I don't have to really. They've been very supportive, and you know, pretty much I'll simply let them know I'm working on something, mm-hmm. and they'll say, okay, well, when you got something, send it to me, and when I do, I send it in, and generally they're like, okay, then I'll get a contract in the email, and that's pretty much the way it goes.
Amen. Praise God. Well, yeah. If someone wanted to order your book, Future Schism, or any of the other books for that matter. Can they get them? They're on Amazon. You said Barnes & Noble for the pre-release.
Yes.
Through your website, correct?
Yes, they're all orderable pretty much from any of the major book vendors online. Okay. That's usually the best way to get them. They may not find them in the bookstores, so ordering them online or going into a bookstore and asking them to be ordered is the best way. Okay. But they can find links, certainly, on my website or I have an Amazon page. Okay. They can go to Amazon and Jeff W. Horton, and I have a page with all my novels. I haven't gotten one yet for a Future Schism, but I'm gonna put that out there soon. Again, www.hortonlibrary.com is my website, and I've got links to my Facebook page and on Twitter. I'm pretty much everywhere. You can Google me and find me.
Okay, and I'll be putting links to the show notes for all this as well. If someone wanted to get a hold of you to ask a question or maybe to do an interview like this, how can they do that?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Again, certainly the website, but my email is jeff@hortonlibrary.com. That's the best way.
Hey, Amen. Amen. Well, folks, that's all the time we have. Jeff, I want to thank you for coming back on and allowing us to be part of your book launch. Praise God. And, you know, folks, I highly, 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 highly encourage you to go out there and get the pre-order of this book. Let's help Jeff make this such a huge launch that the agents be knocking on his door looking for, you know, his contracts. Praise God.
Thank you, Pastor.
And, you know, we just pray the blessing upon you with this book release. And like I said, I'm going to go get mine because, you know, I mean, I'm already hooked just from reading the preamble, if you want to call it that. And I did not miss the little historical footnote of 2076, the 300th anniversary of the USA. I caught that as soon as I seen it. I didn't mention that. But so I had to put that out there. See, I do read stuff.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for catching that.
Yeah. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. Praise God. Jeff, again, thank you for coming on. And we look forward to talking to you again, letting us know how the book launch went. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bob.
Amen. Folks, for Jeff Horton and myself, this is Pastor Bob Till reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.